This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock.
So what do you make of this? I call it the Epstein didn't kill himself phenomenon. I am seeing memes, and some of them are hilarious. I'm seeing a take on, you've seen the thing where someone will post a word search puzzle, a blank word search puzzle with nothing drawn in, and it'll say, okay, these next three words you see will be what you get in 2019 or 2020, like love, wealth, whatever, happiness, whatever it is. I see one that says the next three words you see, and there's no way you cannot see the words, Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein, he's the billionaire financier who they said hung himself in a New York City jail cell.
Right.
What was that, about a month or two ago now?
Yeah.
And last week it was back in the news again because a doctor, Dr. Baden, said that his injuries on his neck didn't look like they were from suicide. They looked like he had been killed.
Right. And you've seen, if you've watched any show, 2020 or any forensic file show, you've seen Dr. Michael Baden. He's got the mustache. He's got the glasses. He's kind of balding. I just saw one today. In fact, I'm going to put this up on Facebook, the Bayou Facebook page, at 10 o'clock. It is a treatment of a Weekend at Bernie's picture with Bill on one side, Hillary on the other, and Epstein in the middle, and you can figure out which role Epstein plays.
As a matter of fact, new evidence has just surfaced in the Jeffrey Epstein case.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators have found a suicide note that says, yes, comma, I did kill myself. exclamation point. And here's one other thing that's interesting about that. The people that hate Donald Trump, mm-hmm. they're convinced Trump and his ilk killed Epstein.
Right.
And then the people that hate Hillary Clinton are convinced Hillary Clinton
right.
and Bill Clinton and their ilk killed Jeffrey Epstein.
And it's
add him to the list of the many people that they've killed in the past. And if they're correct, Hillary Clinton is not even arguably the biggest, the most proficient serial killer in the history of our country.
Or suicide faker. I mean, it all comes down to who you believe, if anyone, either Trump or Clinton, or both, or neither, Epstein had taken to the so-called island where young girls were. This is something I came across. You remember Bill O'Reilly? Bill O'Reilly had the protege, Jesse Waters, and was kind of bringing him up, and I always thought of Jesse Waters as maybe being the heir apparent. Well, he's still on Fox News, but they have him on weekends for the most part. He does his own show called Waters World on there. And I came across this in the light of taking out the ISIS leader. They were talking about trained military dogs, and Jesse Waters had on a guest named Mike Ridlon and his dog Nero. And they were talking about Mike Ridlon's a former Navy SEAL, and they were talking about the process of training these dogs for military service. And at the end, Mr. Ridlon wanted to make a little PSA.
And he can't wait. So thank you and thank Nero for your service. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. If I could I throw a PSA out real quick?
Real quick.
Just the remarkable nature of these dogs and them being highlighted in the news creates a huge demand by people that frankly shouldn't have them. If you see the coverage and you decide I want one of these dogs, either buy a finished, trained, fully trained and finished dog from a professional, or just don't get one at all. And Epstein didn't kill himself.
All right. Okay. Thank you for that commentary. All right, Mike. Maybe more on that later.
Yeah, but he should have followed him. Who killed him? Was it Trump or Clinton?
Right.
Which one killed Jeffrey Epstein?
If he didn't
kill himself. Here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. We saw a couple of years ago the NBA, the National Basketball Association, make an owner of a franchise sell his team. They took a franchise away from him. They said, you have to sell your team. Because he was heard making racist comments, talking about Donald Sterling when he owned the Los Angeles Clippers, and he wasn't happy that his wife or his girlfriend or side piece, I don't know what it was, what she was, he wasn't happy with the fact that she would go out on the town and take pictures of herself with black guys and put them on social media. Yeah, and evidently she recorded him saying that. He didn't like that. And then those recordings got out, and the NBA said, sir, you're out of our league. You have to sell the Los Angeles Clippers. Well, we just saw something like that here in the New Orleans metropolitan region. One of the owners of Walk-Ons in Covington, Walk-On's restaurant, they just took his franchise away from him. They said, you can't be associated with Walk-On's anymore. All because of a racist Facebook post that he made about Halloween. Did you see that story? His name is Brandon Hargrave. And he wasn't happy on Halloween. He put out a big bucket of candy on his front stoop, which a lot of people do, and then they put an accompanying sign right next to the candy, telling the trick or treaters, the Halloween kids, look, only take one piece, maybe two pieces, but that's it. What the owner of Walk-Ons in Covington did, he took a picture of a group of black kids. Black children, and he went off on his Facebook post. He wrote, more important is the way you act when no one is watching. Turn the volume up. You can even hear these little bleeps reading the sign that says, please take one so everyone gets one. Aloud, while laughing and picking their heads up like thieves on the lookout. While taking it all the candy. Starts out with simple bleep like candy, then eventually escalates to stealing guns out of people's cars, selling drugs, armed robbery, joining the system, and then eventually being jailed, shot, killed, etc. He went on.
There's more?
Yeah. So someone took a screenshot of that, and sent it to Walk-On's restaurant's corporate headquarters in Baton Rouge and said, hey, Walk-On's, this is one of the owners of the Covington Walk-On's. And so the corporate office was not happy about that, and they ended up apologizing. They said their restaurant organization is not like that, and now they've just disassociated themselves as a corporation. Walk-Ons, they've disassociated themselves from that particular franchisee. Brandon Hargrave is his name, and they're done with him. Evidently, Hargrave agreed to open 10 new walk-ons 3 years ago in 2016. He agreed to open 10 new walk-ons restaurants in the Houston metro area. And he owns other franchise locations, coffee places and other bars and workout places. Drew Brees, the quarterback of the Saints, is a co-owner of the walk-ons franchise. Now, I don't know if Drew Brees is connected to the one in Covington. All it said when I was researching this is that Saints quarterback Drew Brees is a co-owner of the walk-ons franchise. And I know he owns, he's part owner of the one here in New Orleans on Poitier Street. I know that. I don't know if he has anything to do with the one in Covington. I have no idea. But then this story happened real fast. And then the next thing you know, the owner of Covington walk-ons loses the franchise after a racist Facebook post. How many times on this show have I said, look what social media has cost people? Social media has cost many people their marriages, their relationships, their careers, their jobs. And I guess if you buy in to a business, because the first thing I thought of, can they really take your business away from you because of a racist post on Facebook?
Ask Marge Schott. Well, she's dead, but...
Well, that's why I opened this whole segment with the guy who owned the Los Angeles Clippers basketball team.
Right,
Donald Sterling.
Marge Schott, in addition to having... Nazi memorabilia in her home and making intemperate comments way too mild about Adolf Hitler and the rise of Nazism in Germany, used terms I can't describe about Dave Parker, about Eric Davis back in the early 80s, mid 80s. I don't even want to use the idea. She was.
They didn't make her sell the team, did they?
She was basically. She was a majority owner, so it was a percentage, but her percentage was. They made her sell her percentage of the team. And so the minority owners then absorbed her shares. And then the team has completely different ownership now. But in effect, the other owners of Major League Baseball ran her out, and I'm not sure that was a bad thing. Marge Schott was just blue collar Cincinnati through and through, and you put a microphone in front of her face, and it's Marge. What do you think about Adolf Hitler? And it was Sal Palantonio from ESPN who basically. Knew that she was a live wire, and if you stuck a microphone in her face, you were going to get something intemperate, something controversial, and sure enough, he did. And it led to her downfall.
And there are plenty of people who aren't happy if they leave a big bucket of candy on their front porch, their front stoop, and they leave a sign saying, look, please only take one or two pieces of candy. Because you want everyone to get one. And then I think we've all seen kids take big handfuls and they fill up their bags. And, you know, if you're doing that, you probably should just turn off your lights and lock your doors. If you don't want to get up to give the kids candy when they come and ring the doorbell, you probably should just back out of Halloween instead of putting a big basket of candy on your front porch, and then with a note with a sign that says please only take one. I thought his Facebook post was awful. The owner of the Covington walk-ons. But boy, in a very short amount of time, he lost his franchise
because of a Facebook post. And I guess if you buy in to an already established franchise, the people who own the whole company, they can decide what they want to do. It's their name you're using. And in the year 2019, there's no company, no corporation that can be associated with perceived racism or racism in any way. Boy, it's something, huh?
See, it's kind of murky because I'm looking up the history of walk-ons here, and I just assumed that Drew Brees, I mean, the key word here is franchise, and then the franchise or a franchise. And I was under the assumption that Drew Brees was one of the franchise owners of this walk-ons over here on Poydras. But apparently, Drew Brees and Scott Taylor and Brandon Hargrave, who is at the center of this story, are, you might say, all co-owners of all of them, and then Mr. Hargrave happens to own the Covington franchise. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the group owns the whole shebang, the whole name, the whole thing, and then they would sell franchises.
So Drew Brees he needs to make a statement. He needs to distance himself from Brandon Hargrave.
Well,
he has to.
If I am reading this correctly, then one would assume such.
Wow. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So we were just talking about how a local man just lost his business because of a racist Facebook post. The man, Brandon Hargrave, who's one of the owners of the Walk-On's restaurant in Covington. And when some people saw his racist Halloween Facebook post, they took a screenshot of it, and then they sent it to the corporate offices up in Baton Rouge. And that owner of the Covington Walk-On's has lost the franchise, lost his business. Again, much like the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers basketball team a couple of years ago, Donald Sterling, for racist remarks. And we just asked you if you had an opinion. Send us a short text to our text line.
And a question is, should Drew Brees, due to his association with either some walk-ons, one walk-ons, or all the walk-ons, should he make a statement about this? A text says, Drew doesn't need to say or do anything about Hargrave. He has been fired, he being Hargrave, bought out, end of story. Donald Sterling had always felt that way, and she had always had black boyfriends, but when she showed up to a Clippers game with Magic Johnson, he snapped. And again, this was Donald Sterling and his wife. And we all know that story. Mm. It's only racist when it comes to people of color. Again, these are texting. Just like the recent NFL player whose Twitter got banned, it wasn't because of the words he had used. I'm not going to go all down that road. Hey, John, social media hasn't caused people to lose jobs. Liberalism has cost has it cost people jobs, historical monuments, freedom of speech, and so many other things. And one more. People should be able to post whatever they want, racist, not racist, whatever, and not have their businesses taken away from them. If you post something and other people don't like it, they have the option to not go to your business. I thought this was America, but it's more in the word twisting towards communism. America great again. God bless Trump and Colby and Colby.
But imagine being Drew Brees and the other co-owners of walk-ons.
Right.
And having to deal with this.
Right. I mean, it's businesses can't pick whoever it is, the New England Patriots, the Chicago Cubs, when the alleged fan made what is some would refer to as the okay sign, but some refer to that as being related to saying white power, and did that behind an African American reporter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that this is America. The Chicago Cubs cannot be cannot afford to be soft on any of that.
Yeah, and walk-ons.
It's a business.
Walk-ons cannot be connected or associated with this in any way. And all I've said is, boy, look at how many marriages, how many careers that people's social media posts have ended. It's something.
Well, but it's different when you have employees and people counting on you to do the right thing because you work for them and they've got to feed their families. And then up above you, you have people doing this. So I can't defend that kind of action.
It's Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. This is a bizarre story that has been making headlines, and because it's been making headlines, the television show Dr. Phil is going to take it on Thursday. This couple in Indiana, they wanted to adopt a child. So they adopted a Ukrainian girl. Okay, you're following me here? And they thought the Ukrainian girl was 8 years old. But according to the couple, this Ukrainian girl that they adopted, not only wasn't 8 years old, wasn't a child, they claim that she was a dwarf in her 20s. And that she tried to kill them. The Indiana couple. So the Indiana couple said they couldn't deal with this person anymore. They rented her a place in Indiana. They dropped her off there. And then they took off. They said, this is not a child. This is a dwarf. This is a Ukrainian dwarf who is making our lives a living hell. The married couple got arrested. And the couple are the Bennetts. They're in their 40s. Barnetts. Michael Barnett and Christine Barnett. They have since divorced because of this.
That was quick.
But when they were arrested, they were charged with 2 counts of neglect of a dependent. Because they said, we can't deal with this dwarf anymore. She's making our life a living hell. We thought we were adopting a Ukrainian child. Come to find out, it's not a child. It's a dwarf. They're making she's ruining our lives. So they ruining our marriage too. So to try to save our marriage, they just dumped the dwarf. They rented a place in Lafayette, Indiana. The Ukrainian woman or child or dwarf, whatever she is. She had never been to that town, and the couple just dropped her off there, and they took off and went to Canada. And then the dwarf or the child, we still don't know exactly how old this person is, said that she had no source of income, she didn't know anybody in Lafayette, Indiana, and then other neighbors ended up taking her in. She is going to be on the Dr. Phil show on Thursday. And we're going to find out, is this really a child from the Ukraine who needed to be adopted, who needed parents? Or is this a conniving Ukrainian dwarf?
Who had a plot, apparently, to kill these people.
Yes! And ruin these people's marriage.
Well, the killing part, I think, is more important, but
This is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever seen. The Barnetts. Again, they're divorced because of all this, but they adopted this woman named Natalia back in 2010. They say a doctor determined she was estimated to be about 8 years old back then. But the Barnett said, oh, no, she's fooled everybody. She's not an 8-year-old Ukrainian girl who's in desperate need of two loving parents and an adoption. They say she's in her 20s, maybe even around 30. She's a conniving dwarf, a Ukrainian dwarf who's out to kill people and ruin people's lives. Whoa! You talk about the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Trying to figure out why the two parents here, Christine and Michael Barnett, why are they shown in mugshots here?
Because they're arrested for leaving.
For leaving her.
Abandoning the child in Lafayette, Indiana at some house.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Okay.
So that's why. And they were almost killed, they say, by her. They ruined their marriage. And I guess we're gonna find out if from the Dr. Phil show, which is it? Who is this person? The helpless child? Or the evil dwarf?
Hey, look, I don't need one more excuse to watch Dr. Phil, okay?
But this is going to be an interesting one on Thursday.
You know what a fan I am.
So, and look, adoption is a wonderful, wonderful thing for parents who aren't able to have children, for children who for whatever reason aren't with their parents anymore. You know, adoption is an absolutely wonderful thing, but you don't want that to be. You don't want the sanctity of adoption to be ruined by an evil dwarf.
I don't want to be murdered.
Can you imagine? Who do you think you're taking in here? Right, it's the John Osterlin Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Watched some Monday Night Football last night, and you know, there's only a handful of teams that could win the Super Bowl this year. Most of the teams in the NFL aren't good. Saints are at the top of the list of the teams. The NFC has more good teams than the AFC.
It's funny, though, after last night's game, people are talking about what happened, but not about the game itself.
Yeah, well, a black cat ran on the field last night, and the radio play-by-play man for the Monday Night Football game, Kevin Harlan, got excited about it.
This is Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network.
A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50. They've stopped play, and the players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. Now he's at the 5. He's walking to the 3. State troopers come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, which now climbs up into the stands, and the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again, and it runs up the tunnel.
Yeah, you wonder how a black cat got onto the football field like that in the middle of a 80,000-seat stadium.
Right.
You know, where it came from.
But he took it in for the score. How about that?
Yeah, you know, hopefully the feline's okay. But in the AFC, you're thinking only the Patriots, maybe the Kansas City Chiefs with Mahomes, and maybe the Baltimore Ravens. But those, in my opinion, those are the only three teams in the AFC that have any chance to win the Super Bowl. And the NFC has twice as many teams,
right,
that are good. And the rest of the teams in the NFL this year, they're not good.
I think you can take with Jacoby Brissett, questionable. I think you can forget about any Colts wild card chances.
They were playing pretty well until he got hurt after the shocking retirement of their starting quarterback, Andrew Luck.
They were starting to click.
Mm. All right. Coming up next, we will look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. And we hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. It's time for us to look at today in history. And we call the segment...
My Today Doesn't Suck.
November 5th. It was today in 1994.
My Today Doesn't Suck.
George Foreman becomes the oldest heavyweight champion ever. He was 45 years old.
He beat Mother Teresa, right?
No.
It was kind of ugly.
He beat 26-year-old Michael Moorer in the 10th round of their WBA fight in Las Vegas. Michael Moorer was 35-0 going into the fight.
Wow.
But George Foreman, best known now for his grill. I'm not talking about his teeth either.
No.
He did that today in 1994, and I don't think we'll ever have an older heavyweight champion of the world.
Not unless I come out of retirement.
November 5th. It was today in the year 2000.
My Today Doesn't Suck.
Former governor of Louisiana, Jimmy Davis, died at the age of 101, but he wasn't just the former governor of Louisiana. He supposedly wrote the song "You Are My Sunshine." You know that tune?
That's a great song.
Sunshine, yeah.
Very simple song, but just a really nice song.
Who knew that the former governor of Louisiana wrote that song?
I knew that. I think many people knew that.
Huh.
November 5th. Say it with me. Donuts. Today is National Donut Day. And sadly for us, we won't celebrate that until Friday here in the studio because that's the day we're provided with free donuts. Birthdays today include, I know one of your favorites, Kris Jenner. You know Kris Jenner's age? We'll play high-low. Take a guess.
She's 65.
Oh, you're close. Lower.
64.
64 years
hey,
old
how about
today.
That?
Also, with a birthday today, a pretty good actor, Sam Rockwell. It was over the top and cartoon-like, and some would say, well, that's a dead-on impersonation or a dead-on characterization of George W. Bush in the great movie that I forgot the name of, where Christian Bale played Dick Cheney, the Cheney movie. That is, I still say, my opinion, Christian Bale got robbed for the Academy Award by that Egyptian kid playing Freddie Mercury.
I've got to watch that movie. I haven't seen that movie
Oh,
yet.
You've got to see that. Cheney's very good. Very entertaining. Lots of heart attacks. Also, with birthdays today, Bryan Adams is 60 years old. Art Garfunkel is 78. A great golfer who I thought was going to continue to just that upward swing, but you don't hear that much from Bubba Watson anymore. I mean, he's still hitting them, 390, 400 yards off the tee. But Bubba's 41. Odell Beckham Jr., who can't get the ball to save his life in Cleveland, is 27. NBA Hall of Famer Bill Walton is 67. And it was on this date, November 5th, back in 1967.
My Today Doesn't Suck.
Your New Orleans Saints scored their first regular season victory with a win over the lowly Philadelphia Eagles, who I don't think were that lowly in 67, but the score, final score, 31. I'll do Kevin Harlan. The final score, 31-24. I'm Kevin Harlan.
November 5th, it was today in the year 2007.
My Today Doesn't Suck.
Writer's strike stopped production of television shows and movies. I remember the late night shows, they were having some issues.
Which year? 87?
2007.
Oh, 2007.
Yeah, 12 years ago. I remember they had some issues with that. November 5th, it was today in 1977.
My Today Doesn't Suck.
George W. Bush, W., married Laura Welch in Midland, Texas. They're in West Texas, and they're still going strong.
Yes, they are.
And finally, November 5th. It was today in 1940.
I don't care.
My Today Doesn't Suck.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt was reelected for his third term, and it's safe to say that's the last time you'll ever see that, a president who serves more than two terms here in the United States.
And that's plenty.
I'll be honest with you. If he was still alive, I know he never would have made it, but if he was still alive, he'd still want to be president. He wanted a fourth term, a fifth term, a sixth term.
I think before all that, if he was still alive, he'd be saying, "Get me out of here! Get me out of here!
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but Franklin Delano Roosevelt."
And that's the segment that we call
"Why Today Doesn't Suck."
Coming up on our show, it finally happened. Someone was murdered because of the Popeyes chicken sandwich. And we will have the details coming up. It's a great sandwich, really, but you go this far? Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. That song right there, the first 80s song. Song from the 1980s to get over 1 billion views on YouTube. Sweet Child of Mine from Guns N' Roses. And I believe they had the first 90s song as well to get a billion views on YouTube. That would be November Rain. And I think Smells Like Teen Spirit is almost at a billion from Nirvana. But that's something. If you're the first band to have the first 80s song get a billion views on YouTube and a 90s song get a billion views on YouTube. And something else, I think that the reason why November Rain gets so many views is because it's such a ridiculous video. I mean, if you've ever seen that video, that's the wedding, and the bride is smoking cigarettes, Stephanie Seymour, and you had a guy just run for no reason and jump into a wedding cake. There was all kinds of crazy things going on in that video. And that was the November Rain video, and then the Sweet Child of Mine video, that video featured his ex-girlfriend, Axl Rose's ex-girlfriend, Aaron Everly, and she's looking great in that. Hey, congratulations to friend of the show, Chris Franklin. Chris Franklin yesterday was named chief meteorologist at Channel 4 here in New Orleans. And the first day we started this show almost 3 years ago, he called in. And then we had some kind of problem with the with the phone.
Well, yeah, I don't even remember that.
But Chris Franklin, here's the guy. You talk about a great story. I mean, that's a big gig, being named chief meteorologist at Channel 4 here in New Orleans. I mean, he follows people like Nash Roberts.
Right.
Carl Arredondo. Friend of the show. Carl Arredondo, I believe, was the chief meteorologist for over 20 years. But what makes Chris Franklin's story interesting, not only is he a local guy, he grew up around here. He was doing the weather on Fox 8 here in New Orleans. And they canned him. They called him in one day and they said, "Well, you're not in our future plans."
They called him in one day and said, "Don't come back the next day."
Yeah. Now, what do you do? You've made it. You're a meteorologist. You're from the New Orleans area. You're on Fox 8 here in New Orleans, and they call you in and say, "You're finished." He ended up seeing that there was a part-time opening at Channel 4. He applied. He got the gig. And he was just doing part-time. I think it was weekend, early mornings he was doing the weather. And then he just slowly worked his way up, and they made it official over the last day that Chris Franklin, local guy, done good. He's the new chief meteorologist for WWL Television Channel 4. Again, just a few years after being shown the door down the street.
How about that?
That's a story of hope. And he's a real nice guy, and we're glad that he's a friend of the show. Good job there, Chris Franklin. Now you better get the weather right since you're the chief meteorologist over there at Channel 4. Don't screw up. Coming up next, the chicken sandwich returned to Popeyes. It returned on Sunday, but it only took one day for someone to die because of it. I mean, that's a great sandwich, but is it that good? Should people be losing lives over their over a Popeyes chicken sandwich? We'll tell you why and what happened coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Led Zeppelin there.
Led Zeppelin.
Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So the chicken sandwich has returned to Popeyes. And they were very smart. They brought it back on Sunday because their biggest rival when it comes to the chicken sandwich is Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday because of the owner of the franchise's religious beliefs. And so Popeyes is thinking, hey, we'll bring back the chicken sandwich on Sunday. And that's what they did. I didn't go Sunday, but I was walking by Popeyes yesterday on Canal Street here in New Orleans, and I stuck
Now you're lucky to be alive.
Well, I stuck my head in because that's the Popeyes I usually go to. It's pretty close to the radio station here. And I stuck my head in, and it was a normal line. It wasn't, you know, backed outside the door.
Right.
It wasn't down the street. So I got in, and I got a chicken sandwich, and it was fantastic.
Was it everything that the hype claims it should be?
Yeah, I had it before, and then they stopped selling them for a while, and then they brought them back. But I had them the first time around. Oh yeah, very good.
Right.
Very good.
Now you and I don't. We go down different roads here. You don't like spicy food. I like things as spicy as I can get them, to a certain degree. Spicy?
Yeah, I like chicken. I like the spicy chicken at Popeyes. And when I usually get Popeyes, if I don't get the sandwich, I'll get spicy because you always have the choice.
Right.
Either get mild or spicy. I always get
the spicy. I'm surprised by that because you generally don't care for spicy foods.
But when it comes to the sandwich, they have the spicy sandwich,
mm-hmm.
and then they have the original, they call it. Mm. And the original's the one with the mayonnaise and the pickles. And I love that. That's the one I got yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So, but they're so...
About what time of day was that?
So anyways, I had a great lunch yesterday. And...
See, I'm going to remain a conscientious objector to this whole thing. I'm just going to stand outside and not get any of these chicken sandwiches.
But
that's just me.
We told you about some of the stories, how people are going crazy over these Popeyes chicken sandwiches. We told you about the Popeyes in the Houston area where someone walked in to the Popeyes in the Houston area.
Right.
Pulled a gun and demanded a chicken sandwich. This is while they were still out of the chicken sandwiches. Can you imagine walking into a place of business, pulling a gun, and not asking for money, not asking them to open the cash register, not asking for cash?
It depends on the place of business.
They were so crazed about the chicken sandwich in that particular Popeyes not having any that someone actually opened the door, walked in, pulled the gun, and said, "Give me the chicken sandwich." And the people, "We don't have any. If we had any, we would."
Right. So crime related to this sandwich is not new, but...
Yesterday took the cake, or the chicken sandwich.
It claimed its first life.
In the state of Maryland, someone was stabbed to death.
This is not a bit, by the way.
No. This is true.
True.
Someone literally was stabbed to death over a Popeye's chicken sandwich in the town of Prince George's County, Maryland.
Well, Prince George's County surrounds... Washington, D.C. on its left, yeah.
Yeah, it's outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And evidently, someone cut in line to get one of the chicken sandwiches, and you don't do that. And then I guess when the two people went outside.
So Jennifer Donnellan, the media relations director with the Prince George's County Police Department, had this to say about the incident.
It's just hard to put into words as to what happened here. So tonight at 7 o'clock, we got a call for a stabbing. There was an argument that began inside the restaurant behind me between two adult males. That argument spilled out into the street. And one male stabbed the other. The victim, a 28-year-old man from our area, was rushed to a local hospital. About 51 minutes after the initial incident, we believe, is when he was pronounced dead at the hospital. What we have since been able to determine through our investigation, our homicide detectives are hard at work on this one, but we have been able to determine preliminarily, that this is related to the release of the sandwich here at this restaurant, that this individual was in line, a line specifically for the sale of the sandwich when another customer and he got into an altercation, and that ended with the victim being stabbed outside of the business. We are asking the person who did this to come forward.
Someone stabbed to death because they cut in line. And for a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Now, look, it's a fantastic sandwich, but you got to draw the line somewhere. Now, did you notice what she said? They had a separate line in that Popeye's in Prince George's County, Maryland,
right,
just for the sandwich. So if you were going to go get a two-piece, or if you're going to get some tenders or just mashed potatoes and gravy or whatever, completely different line. The sandwich has its own line now.
It's expedited. It's a way to get in, and if that's what you, that's all you're there for, just get that, get in, get it, get out, or get stabbed.
I mean, it's a sad story, but could you say that this is just incredible promotion for Popeye's chicken sandwiches?
No.
What about when the guy ran into the Houston Popeye's, pulled out a gun, and said, "I'm not robbing the place. I just want a chicken sandwich."
Is that the kind they said?
We're out.
When you owned your bar and barbecue joint in Miami, is that the kind of headlines you wanted?
What was it called?
Insurance for what was it called?
No, the building's still standing.
No, what was it called? I'm making a point here.
The Scrap Bar and Smokehouse.
Scrap Bar and Smokehouse. Would you want the headline "Murder at Scrap Bar and Smokehouse"? And hey, that'll bring them in. People will be dying to come in here and eat now because of the recent murder.
How about someone murdered outside the Scrap Bar and Smokehouse because someone cut in line to get some of their delicious barbecue? Because we were a barbecue place, too.
Well, maybe you can reinvest into another place, and you can be the director of marketing and go with that. Good luck. No, I don't think Popeye's headquarters, I don't think they're rejoicing over this at all.
So one of the most incredible headlines you'll see all day, man stabbed to death over chicken sandwich at Popeye's in Maryland. Now, the two things I didn't get out of the story, Did he get the spicy chicken, or did he get the original? I didn't get that here. And look, whether it's Popeyes or any place else, the moral of the story is you don't cut in line. I don't care what you're waiting to buy. You don't cut anywhere. You don't deserve to be cut for cutting. But still, you shouldn't do that. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. McDonald's CEO Stephen Easterbrook has been fired for having a consensual relationship with an employee. He's getting $675,000 severance pay, and she's getting $8 an hour. Coming up next, when it comes to porch pirates, Louisiana's one of the worst states in the country for those damn porch pirates. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. What a weekend coming up if you're a football fan around these parts. On Saturday, you've got number one LSU against number two Alabama in Tuscaloosa. That game's so big. I think the president's going to that game.
That's what I heard.
And the biggest question about that game is the star quarterback, the throwing Samoan from Alabama, is he going to play? He had some ankle surgery, and they say it's going to be a game-time decision. They're either going to be playing Alabama with their stud quarterback, Tua, or they're going to be playing Alabama against their backup quarterback.
Hey, look, every morning when I get out of bed, it's a game-time decision whether or not I'm going to be here, and here I am.
And then on Sunday, the Saints are hosting the Atlanta Falcons, who stink this year. And we're giving away tickets to the Saints-Falcons game on Thursday morning. Every Thursday before a Saints home game this year, we do Osterlin's home game handoff. And on Thursday morning, two mornings from now, listen in the 7 a.m. hour, in between 7 and 8 a.m., and you'll hear Drew Brees' huddle chants. When you do hear Drew Brees' huddle chant this coming Thursday morning in the 7 a.m. hour, if you're caller 9, not only do you win a pair of tickets to go see the Saints play the Falcons on Sunday in the Superdome, but you also get a pair of passes to go to the pregame party next door at Benson Tower, and they have...
Get out!
Incredible food, open bar! Open bar! That is a pregame party, so be listening this Thursday morning. I mean, we hope you listen every morning.
Yes.
But this Thursday morning in between 7 and 8, for the Osterlin home game handoff, and you could be in like my buddy Jimmy Flynn.
Do it.
You see now they're saying that the Chargers, formerly San Diego Chargers, currently Los Angeles Chargers, they may be moving to London, England. The NFL wants a franchise in London. That's why the last few years they play a few games every year over there in London. I mean, the Saints played one. And I just thought that it was going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars who were going to be moving to London because, you know, they have some issues over there in Jacksonville. But now they're saying it could be the Chargers. You know, that's such a sad story, the Chargers. For many years, they were a popular team in San Diego. Whether they were winning or losing, people showed up. They loved that team. And then the owners, the Spanos family, they were too cheap to pay for their own stadium. They put it on a ballot to raise taxes in San Diego County for the people there to vote to raise taxes so they could raise money for a new stadium. And the people in San Diego County said, no, you multimillionaires, why don't you build your own stadium? And so the cheap Spanos family said, you know what, we're out of here. And they moved up. They're now playing in Carson, California, next to Los Angeles. And they're playing in a soccer stadium that holds, what, about 30 or 40,000 people. And every week, there's about 75 to 80% visiting team fans there. They don't have fans that show up because they don't want to go to Los Angeles, drive up from San Diego to watch the Chargers. And they're saying once they get there, they move into the new stadium. Next year, they're going to share the stadium. They're building this beautiful place out right next to the airport in Los Angeles. They're going to share it with the Los Angeles Rams. It's the owner of the Rams who's spending his money to build that stadium. And then evidently the Chargers were going to pay rent to the owners, the owner of the Los Angeles Rams to play in that stadium. Well, now I was just seeing that it's only going to be worse next year once the Chargers move into that massive 75 or 80,000 seat stadium. They don't have any fans there that are going to the game, and it's sad because that was a once very formidable, proud organization. What's interesting about that team now is their quarterback Philip Rivers, who's been there forever. He commutes, even though he still lives in San Diego. He'll drive the 2 hours up to L.A. for practice every day and for the games on Sundays. But he says he's not moving. He's got like 15 kids or something like that. He said he'd take them out of school, it would be a fiasco.
Let me tell you what makes all bets off here. It's either going to be one of those two choices, but the clock is ticking. And here's what will happen: if Mike Brown dies prior to either of these teams moving to London, it will be the Cincinnati Bengals moving, because as soon as Mike Brown dies, his daughter and his son are cashing in for about $1.2 billion, and they'll sell it to somebody who will then move it to London. I don't think they want to uproot and be involved in all that with international tax implications and all that. They'll let somebody else do that. But that'll be their payday.
One of those three teams. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if two teams move there, and then they could have like the soccer, they could have London United, and they could have London City.
Well, but they would still have half as many teams as Los Angeles currently has that have empty stadiums.
How would you like to be an NFL player, and then all of a sudden, your home base is London, England?
Right.
The money in your pocket's all different. Everything's
you drive
different.
On the other side of the road.
The steering wheel's on the other side of the car.
You know, that's not that big of a deal. You get used to it.
Could you imagine being one of those players? So expect it within the next couple of years.
I hate it. You and I have talked about this. I frankly don't like it. I don't like it.
They want to grow the sport.
Well, have a European version then, or Euro football, but I don't like it. I don't like it.
What do you think about that? If you're listening right now, is that something that you're a fan of? If you love football, would you like to see a team or teams over there in London, England?
You know, it's different from other sports that have an international flavor, whether it be soccer, as we call it, or football, as the rest of the world calls it, or auto racing, because you have international players and international entities either behind the teams. I mean, you make a good point, Philip Rivers. I'm not going to London I'll be traded or whatever.
He didn't go to Los Angeles. It's right up the street from right. San Diego.
Right. So it just to me, it doesn't make sense to have American players playing somewhere else, because that is the I can't express it other than the fact that I don't like it.
And good thing this didn't happen in the 80s when the Saints games weren't even on television around here, the home games, because they couldn't sell them out and people were wearing bags over their heads. And a good thing this is happening now when there's a long, long, long waiting list for people to get tickets to go see the New Orleans Saints, or at least season tickets. All right, coming up on the show, some guy is facing up to a year in prison because he killed a fish. We'll tell you the details coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. A man may be going to prison for a year, up to a year, and he might get fined $50,000 because he killed a fish. But it was the type of fish he killed, which is why this is such a harsh scenario. A guy in Florida admitted that he killed an endangered sawfish. You ever see those sawfish? Those they're so cool that the nose sticks way out, and it looks exactly like a saw. That's how they get their names.
I thought it was a swordfish. No?
Well, this is sawfish I'm seeing. A man in Florida is facing up to a year in federal prison. His name is Chad Ponce. And he's also facing a $50,000 fine after witnesses said they saw him kill an endangered small-tooth sawfish.
I've never heard of that before. It is not the same as a swordfish. It turns out it's also known as a carpenter shark. There's another name I've never heard. Let me write this down.
This sawfish is an endangered species, and this guy, in front of other people, he removed the long, flat saw that gives the fish its name.
Mm-hmm.
And this past Friday in a court in Florida, Chad Ponce pleaded guilty to killing an endangered species. He was seen on a boat off of Ponte Vedra. That's near Jacksonville. That's northern Florida. He was seen using a power saw to remove the fishes. It's called a rostrum. That's the long, narrow, tooth-lined extension of its head that resembles the saw. And those fish need those things.
Well, tell me it was dead when he was doing that.
Well, they use that saw to sense and attack prey. Without it, without their saw, the sawfish can't survive.
Right.
And they say the numbers of these sawfish in the ocean are declining dramatically. Have you ever eaten one? Do they taste good?
Well, since I've never heard of one, how could I have eaten one? I've never even heard of this animal.
Well, since they're an endangered species, I mean, you shouldn't be killing them. If they weren't an endangered species, you could use the saw to basically as a knife to cut it after you. Well,
why is it that we have incredibly rare and highly incredibly endangered species of the God's creation, the sawfish, yet we have plenty of Chad Ponces running around, cutting its nose off, basically.
Yeah.
I say throw the book at him.
Experts on this say there's somewhere between 500 and 5,000 adult sawfishes left.
And you and, know, and this they guy, better start doing some sex because we need more sawfishes.
Well, I can't help you there. But this guy is how old? Doesn't say. Yeah, you know, he's probably going to live we'll say another 50 years. So by that time, I'm sure the species will be completely wiped out, most likely because of people like Chad Ponce.
Well, he admitted what he did, and
I don't care.
So he didn't fight this. So
throw the book at him.
He cooperated. So he's looking it up to a year in federal prison and a $50,000 fine.
Good.
For killing an endangered sawfish. And be careful around those endangered species.
Yes.
Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this is a doozy. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And, well, it's just after 8:35. This is where we tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this is a local story.
It's dumb and local.
Yeah. Man stole electric shopping cart from Walmart, drove it to bar to avoid DUI.
Right.
A Livingston Parish, Louisiana man, was arrested on Sunday after authorities said he stole an electric shopping cart from a Walmart because he thought it would save him from getting a DUI. According to the Terrebonne Parish Sheriff's Office, they responded to a bar in Houma around midnight after getting a report that someone had shown up in the parking lot riding the stolen cart. Deputies found the cart parked between two other vehicles in the bar's parking lot.
Yeah.
Deputies soon confronted 32-year-old Bryce Williams of Denham Springs, who was suspected of taking the cart. Williams admitted to stealing the cart from the nearby Walmart, saying he had come from another bar and feared he would get arrested for DUI if he drove his own vehicle to the bar.
You know, on paper, it's not that bad of a plan.
But I think you could still get DUI for driving a stolen electric shopping cart from Walmart. You ever see the people in Walmart that are on those things, and then when they're done, they just hop right off them?
And they run back to the parking lot?
Wait a minute, what are you...
I have seen that.
He was not charged with DUI, though. He was booked on one count of unauthorized use of a movable.
Hmm.
His bond was set at $2,500. That's a lot of booze. And just when you think you've seen it all or heard it all, here's a guy that was drinking at a bar on Sunday, local man. Said, I got to get to this other bar. I don't want to drive my own car, so I'm just going to go into this Walmart over here. I'm going to take the electric shopping cart, and that's what I'm going to scoot on down the road to the bar in Houma.
Hmm.
There you go. If you want to see that story or if you want to see this guy's mugshot, you can go to our website at bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You know what a porch pirate is, right? A porch pirate are criminals. They're people who walk onto strangers' porches and they take packages off of them. Especially in this day and age with Amazon, how many people are getting packages just delivered onto their front porch, their front stoop? And there are people that drive down the road and they see packages on strangers' front porches, and
right,
they'll just run up and grab them.
Well, even more nefarious, worse than that, they are following some of the, whether it be the USPS or DHL or FedEx or USPS, I mean, they're UPS, they're, or Amazon, they're surreptitiously following them. Here's a little quick story from my real life. I get like a lot of, Mrs. Brewster and I are Amazon Prime members, get a lot of things delivered. And Amazon, bless them, will deliver things on Sunday. They'll deliver things on early Saturday morning. And so because their vehicles are clearly advertising and it works, they're very much targets.
Get followed.
Yep.
Well, a new study reports that nearly 40% of consumers have been victims of package theft. And now that the holidays are coming, Christmas and such, got to pay attention. The state of Louisiana ranks fourth most at risk in the United States.
Hmm.
Go figure. And it is porch pirate season. They come, they take, then they take off. And you can't, there are ways, people have doorbell cameras now. They have they have cameras, porch cameras on their front porch.
And those are easy to install. They're relatively inexpensive anymore.
Just hope the porch pirates don't steal those, too.
Hmm.
But you can always get a look at someone. I saw a couple of people, what they did, they put explosives. They set people up.
See,
they put up a fake, an empty box, and they put up an explosive inside the box.
And that's the world you want to live in,
and
right?
And someone did, well, I don't, I didn't,
well,
I
his didn't, answer, his answer, folks, was well.
I didn't.
It wasn't no. It was well.
I didn't say I wanted to live in that world.
You said well.
But it's a shame when you even have to think about that, when the word well can even come out of your mouth. this is the country we live in? Is this the United States of America that you know and love? So I just pay attention out there. And
well,
why are we in Louisiana always in the top five?
I don't know.
When it comes to things that are negative,
I don't understand that. Do you have the other three in front of you?
I don't. It just says Louisiana is fourth in America. Now I don't know.
We just can't catch a break here, can we?
If they're going by per capita, or they probably, because if you figure if they were going by size, California would probably be up there as well. So beware of porch pirates.
Yes.
And these porch pirates, they don't even wear patches over their eyes or puffy shirts. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us. And a business owner in Covington just lost his business because of a racist Facebook post. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Well,
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. There's a lot of rock and roll fans, Pink Floyd fans, who believe that's the best guitar solo David Gilmour ever did on any Pink Floyd song, the solo he did right there on Comfortably Numb. I know it's subjective, but that's a damn fine piece of guitar work right there. So I was just reading where Microsoft, the company, they recently experimented with
I've heard of them. Microsoft, the company. I've heard of them.
Yeah, they recently experimented with a four-day work week in Japan, and they said productivity jumped 40%. There are many people in America that believe we should move to four-day work weeks. Instead of working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, work 10 hours a day, 4 days a week, and then we'd have 3 day weekends, and that's I guess that's just for clock punchers,
right?
9-to-5ers. I mean, there are some people,
doctors and nurses, and service industry.
Yeah, I was going to say waiters and bartenders,
radio people. That we're not going to get to do that. So,
but in Japan, Microsoft just recently tried this. They tried it in the month of August, and they said, "All right, for each week for the month of August, we're gonna." Do a four-day work week, and they swear that productivity jumped 40%. Now, remember, this is Japan, not America. Things are a lot smaller in Japan. Have you seen the size of some of the apartments? I guess some Japanese people, the apartments are so small that they sleep in dresser drawers. Things are smaller over there. But I guess a smaller work week worked well for them.
I think you saw that on a sitcom. I don't know if that really, really happened.
You could go to YouTube and type in Tokyo apartment, small Tokyo apartment.
And I will find Japanese people sleeping in dressers.
Is that
what you said?
Well, you may. You'll find very, very small apartments in Japan, and it's because the apartments are so small. That's why some of the people in Japan, they don't have beds. They just...
Hand me one of those oranges, would you?
An experiment that involved reducing the work week by 1 day led to a 40% boost in productivity in a Microsoft subsidiary in Japan. The trial was part of something Microsoft called Microsoft's Work Life Choice Challenge. And Microsoft Japan closed its offices every Friday in August. And they found that labor productivity increased by 40% compared with the August 1 year ago in 2018. Full-time employees were given paid leave during the Friday closures.
So they did work longer. They did work 10 hours rather than 8 Monday through Thursday?
Yeah, they shifted to a 4-day work week. And the company said it also reduced the time spent in meetings.
I'm all for that.
By implementing a 30-minute limit and encouraging remote communication. In many, many offices, meetings are something that, are they really, really that necessary?
I can't tell you in every industry, not just this one. I can't in everything. So many meetings, you look at yourself after it's over and it's like, that could have been a short email, maybe a medium sized email rather than a 2-hour meeting.
Or you could have, when we passed each other in the hall, you could have.
I'm not a big fan of that. That doesn't work because it doesn't stick with anybody.
So I found that interesting. And again, I would love to see it here in the United States, but probably still a long ways away there. And that's just about going to do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Genty is coming up next. Genty! And starting in 8 minutes, it's 2 for Tuesday. We'll chat again tomorrow morning. Here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.